Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, if you have a Bible, or look on someone else's. We're going to take a look at Romans 12, and then we're going to take a look at unwrapping my gifts. We have a handout for you. Does anyone not have a handout and needs one? Raise your hand, we'll get one to you. Some up here on the front row. Now, this handout will help you as we go along. Today we're going to be taking a look at spiritual gifts, what they are, giving you an opportunity to decide if you have one of these, or maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm pretty sure I have this gift. You'll find on the handout. I may have this gift. I don't think I have this one. According to the Bible, God has given special abilities to His people. Whenever you commit your life to the Lord Jesus, one of the things that happens is the Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities that He intends to develop and empower as you use them for the benefit of other people. Time goes on, and as you grow with the Lord, these things begin to stand out. We're going to take a look at several of them today. And Romans 12 is one of the passages that talks about these gifts. Would you stand with me? We're going to read. Now, you can follow along as I read from verse 3 on down through verse 8. Paul writes, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for drawing us into your presence. As we are considering these things of the gifts that you have given us, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and bring understanding about what you have given, as well as what you intend to do through us. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would speak right now. In his name, amen. You may be seated. For a while, we've been taking a look at the idea that God has shaped you for ministry and some of the ways that you can get an idea of what he wants to do through you and narrow down the focus of what he has prepared you for. One of the ways is to understand certain basic things about how he's made you. First of all, your spiritual gifting. We're using the acrostic shape, S-H-A-P-E. S stands for spiritual gifting. H stands for the heart that he's given you. Whether you might have a heart for children, you might have a heart for people in difficulty, you might have a heart for missions. People have different things on their heart. A stands for acquired abilities. Things that you have learned out of your career, out of your background, God will use these. P stands for personality. We have different flavors of personality, and those different flavors of personality prepare us for different kinds of ministries. And then E stands for experiences. God brings us through experiences in our life that he intends to use in shaping us to minister to other people. So we're taking a look at those over time, and we've gone through some teaching on spiritual gifts. Today, what we're going to do is give you an opportunity to unwrap the gift the Lord has given you. Now, as we go through this, you're going to find on some of these things you may know pretty definitely that this is you. On other things you may know pretty definitely it's not you. On some of these, it may be that maybe this is you, maybe it's not. And so you'll want to mark in the middle there, I may have this gift. You'll want to check it out as time goes on. Under unwrapping my gifts up here, the gift lists in the Bible are exemplary and not exhaustive. The Bible does not lock into tight restrictions as to the number of spiritual gifts or even their definitions. The four major lists of gifts are found in these passages. You could read them in your own time here. But there are other passages that mention or illustrate gifts not included in the lists. And in hope, we're going to use these functional definitions of spiritual gifting. This is what we'll be working with. These definitions come from a little bit from Scripture, a little bit from observation, a little bit from the research of a lot of people digging into the Scriptures. The way the gifts are listed in the Bible, there are some that are fairly definite about what they mean, like the gift of serving. There's a whole lot written in the Bible on serving. And whenever you study the Scriptures dealing with serving, you get a pretty clear idea of what this gift is. There are other gifts that are just really not very clear, like the word of wisdom. What wisdom is clear in the Bible. You can study it. You can dig into it. There's a lot written on wisdom in the Scriptures. But this word of wisdom is only mentioned briefly. So as you begin to try to define exactly what this gift is, then you have to collect a lot of verses and sort of try to construct what is meant here. To deal with it practically, you look at people who seem to have this wisdom ability, and you write down some of their characteristics. But there's not a footnote section in the Bible that defines each one of these exhaustively. As a matter of fact, in the four different lists, you find that not even the same gifts are mentioned in the lists. Now, some people want to go through the Scripture and write down every gift that's mentioned in there and then say, this is it. These are the spiritual gifts. But that doesn't appear to be the approach of the New Testament. As you read the New Testament, the approach taken to the listing of these special abilities that God gives is sort of casual. You know, one list mentions so many, another list mentions a different group, another list picks up some of both, and there's not this locked, rigid, tight, exact list that everyone uses all the time. That would indicate that the lists of gifts that are given are examples. They're giving examples of the gifts. Like here in Romans 12, several gifts are mentioned, but you find more gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. So the gifts are listed as examples, not as the ultimate exhaustive list. You may find you have gifting in other areas. You'll recognize your gifting as over time you get opportunity to use these things. Over and over and over again, God will give you opportunity to use this ability. And then when you use it, you get results. It's very effective. You get no results, you probably don't have any ability in the area. Number two, you get results. Number three, whenever you do it, it really strengthens and encourages you. It motivates you. There are varieties of workings, the Scripture says. There are varieties of serving. There are varieties of motivations. These things all come together in a gift. So you may find you have some that are not listed here. One that's not on this list is the gift of celibacy. It's not particularly mentioned as a spiritual gift in the Bible, but Paul says it is a gift given to him. As far as I know, it's one of the major gifts that no one is praying for. And yet God gives this ability to some people for especially dangerous assignments. So we're going to work with this list. You may find other things that come up for you as time goes on. You'll know they're a gifting if you keep getting the opportunity to do them, if you get results when you operate in this mode, and then number three, if you yourself are built up by doing this. All of us are called to act in a way that's like many of these gifts. For instance, all of us are called to serve, but not all have the gift of serving. All of us are called to give, but not all have the gift of giving. All of us are called to share the good news of the Lord Jesus, but not all have the gift of evangelism. So there are many, many opportunities the Lord will put in front of us that don't exactly fit the gift we have, but as you begin to pick a ministry that's going to run over weeks or months or years, a long-term ministry, it needs to be in line with your major gifting. So let's take a look at these. They're categorized for you here into four major purposes that we operate with in the church. If you've been through the Discovering Hope seminar, you'll recognize these purposes. If you have not been, we're working with these four. One of our purposes is to communicate God's Word. And so we're going to take a look at gifts that communicate God's Word, gifts that educate God's people, gifts that demonstrate God's love, and then gifts that celebrate God's presence, and then some gifts that support all of these. So let's go. This is a functional listing. We're working with this. This is not all inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The word of wisdom is a spiritual gift. Defining it exactly, you have to sort of squeeze in some of your own words into this thing. So, but this will help you pick some categories to begin looking. Number one, gift of prophecy. Gifts that communicate God's word, both to believers and unbelievers. The gift of prophecy, or the gift of preaching. Whenever you study prophecy in the Bible, one of the things you discover is that both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, prophecy is not primarily future predicting. Prophets may operate in that mode in both Testaments. But prophecy is especially telling the will of God. Some people have summarized it as prophecy is more forthtelling than foretelling, more sounding forth what God's will and intent is. So in both Testaments, you'll find this declaration of the will of God. Whenever you begin to do research in the New Testament, you tend to find two shades of this prophecy gift. One is the mode that is more preaching. Another is a mode that is more sharing. One of the passages says that all of you can prophesy. Whenever you study the prophecy in the New Testament, the sharing gift is pretty well what happens in our home fellowship or the sharing situation. In home fellowship, whenever we're into a time period where we're sharing what God's doing and ministering to one another, there are some times you feel the Holy Spirit's prompting you to say some things. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says all of you can prophesy. It's sort of like all of you can serve, all of you can give, all of you can do these other things. But there are some who have a major ability to understand the will of God and declare it, to make it known to people. This is an obvious gift. It's one of the public gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that prophecy builds up and fires up and holds up. The one who prophesies is one who will edify you. The result of what they do is you feel strengthened, and it sort of helps pulls you together. They build you up. They fire you up. It's motivational. It's encouraging. And then they hold you up. It's comforting. So the one who has this ability is someone who, whenever they speak, these things begin to come together for you. You feel strengthened, encouraged, and motivated to go ahead and do the will of God. Now, these people usually help us know what God is doing. They help bring us to focus on exactly what God's after in the world and in our lives. Also, their lives are consistent with their message. Someone who has this gift is someone who will walk personally consistently with what they're saying publicly. And they're often willing to take a stand. They're willing to stand alone. If nobody else cares to do what is right, they will go ahead and stand and do what is right. Often they're good at confronting. Whenever situations are going awry, things are getting out of the will of God, these people are willing to go ahead and stand and tell it like it is and bring things back together. Now, they don't tell it like it is to just tell everybody off and hurt everybody. They tell it like it is in a way that brings this strengthening, encouragement, and the comfort. So they have the ability to stand alone in order to do and to tell what is right. As these people grow and mature, from what I've seen over the years, some of them also develop an ability to sense where the Lord is saying things need to go. It's almost like it shades into leadership, but it's not quite a leadership gift. So, do you have this one? Is this a gift you have? If so, whenever you're using it, people are strengthened, they're encouraged, they're comforted. This ability to publicly communicate God's word in an inspired way that convinces unbelievers and both challenges and comforts believers. The ability to persuasively declare God's will. Do you have it or don't you? Mark one of those. I'm not going to check your paper, but go ahead and mark. We'll move on. Evangelism is the ability to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers in a positive, non-threatening way. The ability to sense opportunities to share Christ and to lead people to respond with faith. You can read in Acts 8 about an evangelist and about how he responds to God and to people. People who have the gift of evangelism have a sense for how people who are outside the kingdom of God feel. They're very concerned about how people who don't know the Lord feel they rather miss an opportunity to share Christ. They have a great love for people who don't yet know the Lord. They want to communicate God's word to people. They have a knack for turning conversations to Christ. A lot of you have this gift, and you may not be aware of it yet, because we normally associate in our mind someone with a gift in evangelism as being someone who's very strong personality, very outgoing, and a courageous type person who preaches in stadiums. Okay? And you don't see yourself that way. But the gift of evangelism takes different forms with different types of personalities. If you're more of an extrovert, it'll take one form. If you're more of an introvert, it'll take another form. Now, later on, we hope to do some training related to this, how your personality interacts with your sharing of Christ. But the evangelist just has that ability to communicate the good news of Jesus. Bill Bright is a major Christian leader. He leads Campus Crusade for Christ, and he's someone with the gift of evangelism. Whenever he gets off an airplane, you know, half the airplane have committed their life to Jesus Christ. I get on an airplane, nobody notices. But he just has this ability from God. I'm called to share the good news, but God sends him as a harvester. So, do you have this gift? I don't have this. I may have this gift. I don't think I have this one. Missions is the ability to adapt to a different culture in order to reach unbelievers and to help believers from that culture. People are sent out into other cultures. In 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, you find Paul talking about how he has left his Jewish background and gone into the Greek and Roman world. And in that world, he tries to be all things to everyone. You know, he wants to be a Jew to the Jews, a Greek to the Greeks. And he wants to be a person who adapts in a way so that he can really communicate who Jesus Christ is. Now, some of you have this ability. You have it from the Lord. You are very adaptable. It's the ability to adapt. You can use this gift overseas, or you can use this gift here in this culture. We have a lot of different nations coming to this nation right now. International students need people who have this adaptability. You know, for some of you, you could go to Japan, settle down the Japanese culture, learn the ways, eat sushi, have a great time. Others of you, the very thought of eating sushi is just too much for you. You know, God made Texas, and here you are, and that's enough. Or where I grew up in Tennessee, God made Tennessee. East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, West Tennessee, not necessarily. But this is just fine right here where we are. That's far enough. That's okay. But God gives some people this gift of missions, and he wants them to bridge the gaps to people in other people groups. Now, people who have this gifting often have a heart for a certain kind of people. Like there are people who just love Chinese people, people who are not Chinese people who love Chinese people. They have this group on their hearts. There are other people who love Central Americans. There are other people have a real hunger for. I know some people have a real hunger for sharing Christ with people from Central Asia. God puts this gifting in your heart, and he gives the ability to adapt. If you're thinking about being a missionary, you better be adaptable. If you are adaptable, maybe you better think about it. What, do you have this gift? I'm pretty sure I have this gift. I may have this gift. I don't think I have this one. Apostle, whenever you study the New Testament, you run into the apostles. Jesus calls his disciples to him, and he picks 12 to be apostles. The apostles are basically people who are going to be sent out. If you go ahead and study the development of the early church, you find there are four kinds of apostles that emerge. Number one, they're the original group, the 12. They're called apostles. Number two, there are people like Paul and James, the brother of Jesus, and Jude, and several others, who, though they didn't follow Jesus while he was on the planet, the risen Lord appeared to them and commissioned them to go ahead and lead in his name. They're called the apostles of Christ. And then there are the apostles of the churches, people sent out from the churches on different missions and efforts. And then there, number four, is false apostles. They're running around too. The apostle is especially the ability to start new churches and oversee their development. You find Paul describing himself in Romans 15:20 as somebody who doesn't want to build on someone else's foundation. He wants to go where nothing's been done, start from scratch, and raise up something. The apostles are able to start things. We call them, usually call them church planters. Sometimes as time goes on, some of these people rise up as leaders of movements, and they're known as the starter of a work in a given culture. And so we use the term popularly to describe them, the apostle of such and such. But these are people who are able to found things and get them off the ground. They're God's entrepreneurs. They like to take risks, and they try new things. So God used them to begin things. How about you? Is this you? One of the things you'd want to do is look back and see what you've started. Do you like to try the new? Do you like to take risks? Is risk on the opposite end of the universe from you? If it is, you're not an apostle. I'm pretty sure I have this gift. I may have this. I don't think I have this one. One fun thing as we go along you might do is as you find gifts that you don't have, see if you can jot down the name of someone that you think does have it. If it doesn't apply to you, and if you know people are in this congregation or others, jot down the name of someone that might have it. Gifts that educate God's people. These all earlier ones are particularly designed to help communicate the Lord's word. Gifts that educate God's people. Teaching is mentioned in Ephesians 4. Teaching is the ability to educate God's people by clearly explaining and applying the Bible in a way that causes them to learn. The ability to equip and train other believers for ministry. If you have a teaching gift, whenever you teach, well, people are just with you. They're right there. If you don't have a teaching gift, and you don't have one of these that's particularly in the realm of communicating God's word, then, and you try to teach, people are sort of watching the flies on the wall. But if you have a teaching gift, they pull in with you, and they track right along with you. The teachers tend to be very systematic. They like to organize truth. They like to dig. They tend to think in lists. If you're a list thinker, or someone asks you something, you respond with a list. You may be a teacher. It may be an indicator for you. A lot of you are going to have this gift in seed form. As you develop it, it'll grow, and the impact of it will grow. It's one of the gifts that you really do have to develop. But when it's there, people key in and start tracking with you. Encouragement or exhortation. Acts 14 is an example of this. It's the ability to motivate God's people to apply and act on biblical principles, especially when they're discouraged or wavering in their faith. The ability to bring out the best in others and challenge them to develop their potential. Encouragement is a gift that leaves people motivated. Whenever an encourager has been through, people's motors are humming. They just have the capacity whenever they're around. And especially if things are up in the wind and people are sort of being shaken around, these people have the ability to just sort of bring everyone down, plant them on the rock, and give them courage to face the future. Exhortation or encouragement. There's a difference between encouragement and teaching. Teachers tend to focus on content. Encouragers tend to focus on principles behind the content. The teacher would want you to understand what this passage says. The encourager would tend to drop back, pick up some principles out of the passage, and say, these principles will change your life, and you need to get after these. Because the direction they come at things with is, you need to move, you need to get moving, you need to get going. They tend to be very positive people, tend to be practical. They make good suggestions. Often people will ask a question, and they just seem to have not so much information or great insight. They just have really good practical suggestions to get you moving on something. They tend to be inspirational, action-oriented, able to visualize success for other people. How about you? I'm pretty sure I have this gift. I may have this gift. I don't think I have this one. Wisdom. These next three gifts are gifts that especially support teaching and encouragement. They often go with the gift of teaching or gift of encouragement. Wisdom is the ability to understand God's perspective on life situations and to share those insights in simple, understandable ways. The ability to explain what to do and how to do it. With the people who have wisdom are people who can tell you how to do things successfully from God's perspective. People with a gift of wisdom have real insight into problems and especially into relationships. Whenever things are sort of all up in the air and you're not sure exactly what's going on, there's conflict, there's trouble, people with a gift of wisdom have the ability to just see what's going on and just go right to the heart of it. They can tell you, this is what's going on here. And you say, wow, it really makes sense. And then this is what you need to do about it. And it's just right. They've seen right to the heart of what's happening. Have a lot of insight into relationships. They're very patient people. They tend to be patient and understanding and gentle in dealing with people. They usually have a strong desire to memorize scripture in order to share it with other people. They're going to use this one later. They could collect these things and put them in the quiver for later on. They're going to share the scripture with people. They understand the ways of God, and they're very good mediators in conflict whenever trouble is erupted. They tend to emphasize practical application, not just vague theories, but it's the Word of God brought down to very specific application in this complex situation. Do you know people who have the gift? How about you? I'm pretty sure I have this one. I may have this one. I don't think I have this one. Discernment is the ability to distinguish right from wrong, truth and error, and to give an immediate evaluation based on God's Word. It's the ability to distinguish whether the source of an experience is Satan or self or God's Spirit. In 1 John 4, 1 through 6, there's a passage that says that you need to watch out and not just believe every spirit that comes along. In our culture, our society, we have a history of the last 200 years of not dealing a whole lot with spirits. Other societies have a great deal of interaction with the spirit realm. We're developing more of it in this culture. But the scriptures encourage you not to just believe every spirit that comes along, but check these things out. A person who has the gift of discernment can pierce right to the heart of truth and error. And if the experience is supernatural, or if it's just doctrine on TV, from some show on TV, a person with discernment can pick out what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's error here. This is a gift that protects the church. It's the ability to say, well, this is right and this is wrong. If you have the gift in seed form, you especially need to get the Bible under your belt. If you're already functioning in the realm of being able to pick out truth and error, you really need to get hold of the scriptures so that you can know for sure what is of God and what is not. Knowledge. Check yourself there. I may have this one. I don't think I have this one. I'm pretty sure I have this gift. Knowledge is the ability to discover, collect, analyze, and organize information that's vital to individual believers or the entire church family. The ability to comprehend a large amount of information and provide it when needed for effective decision making. People with the gift of knowledge love to get the facts. They like to dig into things and research. They like to organize knowledge. They outline things. They may be good with computers. Computers help you process a lot of knowledge. They make good curriculum writers. Often you find them dealing with libraries. They have a lot to do with the library, collecting one, working in one, or studying in one. They don't mind doing data work. For some people, working with data and processing information is just a drag. But for people with the gift of knowledge, they love this kind of stuff. Now, they make very, very good researchers. They love to study. If you have this gift, you can be a great helper to someone who is gifted in teaching if you're not. How about the gift? I'm pretty sure I have it. Because this is key in this gift. Take the initiative to provide practical assistance quickly, cheerfully, and without a need for recognition. Everybody's called to serve, but the people who have this gift are the people who are taking initiative. They walk into a situation, they see stuff that needs to be done, they just do it. They don't wait for somebody to say, hey, would you help us set up chairs? They see there are not enough chairs, they just walk over and do this. If they walk into a party and things are not quite done on the table, they'll just go to the table and start doing things. They see the need, and they take the initiative. Now, they tend to be people who are energetic. They tend to be high energy people, very energetic. They're very proficient usually in physical tasks. They're really good at working with their hands. They like to do physical things. They usually don't want to be on stage. They don't mind not being in the center of the limelight. And they're rarely arrogant. You occasionally run into somebody with a gift of serving who's arrogant. But usually the people with the gift of serving, they're not looking for all the attention in the first place. They just want to help out. They see things that need to be done, and man, they do it. This is a tremendous gift in the body of Christ. It's a gift that we need hundreds and hundreds of. Do you have this one? Why don't you check? This gift demonstrates God's love. Over and over again, the Lord ministers to people through the gift of serving. Mercy is the ability to detect hurt and empathize with those who are suffering in the church family. The ability to provide compassionate and cheerful support to those who are experiencing distress, crisis, or pain. The passage that's listed here is a passage about the Good Samaritan. This is someone he's a mercy shower. He's not called that in the passage. But if you want to know what mercy is about, the passage about the Good Samaritan is the mercy passage. A man coming along finds a fellow beaten, stripped, robbed, thrown on the ground, left to die. And what does he do? Well, he pulls out his first aid kit, patches him up, takes him to the local Holiday Inn, and leaves his American Express card. Says, whatever this guy needs, just put it on the card and I'll pay it at the end of the month. And then he goes off. And the guy who's lying in the Holiday Inn says, who was that masked man? Well, he's a mercy shower. He's someone who sees situations where people are hurting and has tremendous ability and drive to show mercy and compassion. Mercy showers often have a lot of friends. Years ago, we paired up mercy showers and prophet types. One of the things, as we did a gift survey with the church at that time, one of the things we found out is that mercy showers tend to have a hard time getting around to the truth with people because their heart so goes out to them. They want so to encourage them. And so they tend to have a large number of relationships. The prophet types are very anxious to get to the truth, and so they tend to have very few relationships. We paired them up for some of our ministries. They have a great ability to empathize. They're great with support groups. We want to do a ministry later on called Care Calling as our church grows. To get people to call through the congregation and find out needs so we can pray over them and respond to them. Mercy showers are great people for that. They want to reach out and touch and care for people who are hurting. Hospitality. How about mercy? Do you have this one? Not have this one? Or are you not sure? Hospitality is the ability to make others, especially strangers, feel warmly welcomed, accepted, and comfortable in the church family. It's the ability to coordinate the factors that promote fellowship. People with the gift of hospitality usually entertain, but there's a difference between hospitality and entertaining. Anyone can entertain, but you may have been in situations where there was someone was entertaining in the home, and you're there, but you really sort of felt uncomfortable. Entertaining, you may or may not feel uncomfortable. But when someone has the gift of hospitality and they're entertaining, you immediately feel comfortable. You feel accepted. You feel right at home. They have the ability to put you at ease. And almost immediately, whenever you enter the environment, you're relaxed. You enjoy being here. They're often good conversationalists. You know what the best conversationalist in the world is? Someone who gets you to talk. Well, they're a brilliant conversationalist. Yeah, because they got us to say a lot of things. They have a great way of drawing people out and getting people to talk. They're great conversationalists. They love to provide meals. They love to provide an atmosphere that puts people at ease and lets people enjoy themselves. Randy Lanthrop, he and his wife Cindy went out from here at the Planted Church in Diamond Bar, California. Randy's folks have the gift of hospitality. And their home is just a delight to stay in. Now, they're in their, on up in their 70s. But, man, it is just so great to go there. They're both warm, friendly people. If you want anything, it's in the fridge. Just go get whatever you want. And that really is the rule of the house. There's never a worry about crumbs on this or stuff being left out. Yeah, it's just a wonderful, happy place to be. You never know who's going to be there when you get up in the morning. I've stayed with them, and we joke about it being the Lanthrop Hotel, because you wake up in the morning there, people you've never seen before. They just have this wonderful gift of hospitality. If you have the gift of hospitality, a great place to serve in Hope is on our welcome team. Our welcome team is the group that really tries to look to the needs of newcomers and to make them feel welcome here, help them to experience the welcome of God through our congregation. If you are here for the first time today, you know yourself that the people who first greet you make a big impression on you. And there are some people, I may be one of them, who could greet you, and you would sort of feel, But then there are other people who, whenever they greet you, you say, well, I like this place. You know, I like being here. Those are people with the gift of hospitality. They have a great ability to welcome. Do you have the gift? You're not sure? I'm pretty sure I have this one. Pastoring has to do with shepherding. The ability to care for the spiritual needs of a group of believers and equip them for ministry. The ability to nurture a small group in spiritual growth and assume responsibility for their welfare. Now, these are people who love to lead. I guess you could say lead, feed, and protect. They love to look over the spiritual lives of other people. Not to control them, but to help them, to encourage them, to help them grow on in the Lord. And they get a great deal of thrill out of that. Many of you have this gift in seed form. You may experience it as you teach Sunday school, maybe in our group life, but you need to develop it. They love to lead groups and care for them. The office of pastor may have different giftings. I'm a pastor, but the gifting may be more in the realm of leading or administering or teaching, but this gift of pastor really has an ability to care compassionately for people and draw them on into growth. How about you? Do you have this one? Giving, the ability to generously contribute material resources and or money beyond the 10% tithe, generously contribute, so that the body may grow and be strengthened, the ability to earn and manage money so that it may be given to support the ministry of others. 2 Corinthians talks about giving. You can dig in there and get some more insight into it. But these people love to give. These are people you never have to tell them giving is a part of the Christian life, because they just give. And they love it. This kind of person says, oh, you like my coat? Here, take my coat. Well, it looks like it'd fit you. You want to give me your coat? Well, they delight to. They love to do this. It's a great joy for them. They're usually some of the happiest people around. They're usually up because, boy, there are all kinds of opportunities to give. And as they give, God brings joy in their hearts. Often they're very, very successful people. God makes them successful in business. God gives them the ability to make money and to give to finance the kingdom. All of us are to give, but God gives some people a special ability to make large sums of money to finance the kingdom. A guy like that is R.G. Letourneau. Have you heard the Letourneau College advertisements? R.G. Letourneau is a man who worked in developing the big earth-moving equipment today. And he came to know the Lord Jesus. And he started off giving 10%. And he just kept making money. So he started giving 20%. And then 30%. And he kept on and kept on and kept on toward the end of his life. He was giving 90% and living on 10%. And still a multimillionaire. Made phenomenal amounts of money and has left all kinds of heritage out of the money that God let him make. You have the gift of giving. Do you have this gift? I may have it. I don't think I have it. I'm pretty sure I do. Then gifts that celebrate the Lord's presence. They tend to be worship or prayer related. And this categorization, by the way, again, is something that we're doing here. You could categorize the gifts a lot of different ways. But in order to help you get an idea of how to plug into what we're doing, we're categorizing them this way. Music, the ability to celebrate God's presence through music. vocal, instrumental, and lead the church family in worship. This is one of those obvious gifts. If you read Psalm 120, it talks about drums and trumpets and all kinds of instruments, or Psalm 150, being used to worship the Lord. It's an obvious gift. If you have it, it shows. If you don't have it, it doesn't show. Do you have this one? If so, God wants to use it to bless people. Arts and crafts. And by the way, on music, one of the things that often has to happen with people who have the gift of music, they often have to learn how to serve with it. Because we have a standard in the world of performance when it comes to music. And performance is all about me. See? I do my music. And why do I be doing my music? Because whenever I do my music, people say, wow! Or they fork out bucks. And so the more famous I get, the more performance I do, and the more I get control of the way everything happens. Jessica and I were listening to 98.7 FM, oldies on the way in this morning. The fellow was introducing the greatest Beatles hits. And he said, this next song is about the very thing that caused the Beatles to break up. And then did a clip of one of the Beatles talking about how they argued over how this song was going to be done. They're all now famous. And the guy ended the clip saying, the song was Hey Jude, ended the clip saying, I had to tell the famous George Harrison not to play his guitar during this song. I thought, yeah, that's the way things go, you know. With music, you get better and better. And finally you get to the point that no one can tell you anything. And so groups break up. Music groups break up. In the church, music is very different. Music is not about performance. Music is about serving. And it's about bringing people into an experience of the Lord. The issue is not how you perform, but what the results are in the hearts of people. So if you become part of the band here at Hope, and part of our music ministry, you find out that it's really not about being the number one star Hope performer, but it's about working together to bring people into the presence of God. So musicians often have to learn to serve in order to be effective in the kingdom. Let's go to arts and crafts. Music, do you have it or don't you? In Exodus 31, 3 through 11 is a passage talking about the Lord getting his people ready to build his tabernacle, the temple tent in which he would dwell as they journeyed around the desert. And they would set up the temple, their tabernacle, a tent, and God would dwell in it. As he gets them ready to build this thing, you find over in Exodus 31 that he says that he has given some people ability to work in gold and silver, others in weaving, and different abilities to do these things. And then some he's given the ability to teach others to do these things so that all this can be brought together, all this skill can be brought together to beautify the place of worship. So arts and crafts, the ability to build, maintain, and beautify the place of worship for God's glory. The ability to express worship and minister through a variety of art forms. Whenever art is brought into the service of the Lord, things just look nicer. You know, diamonds are pretty. Rubies are pretty. In a beautiful setting, they look even better. You know, you can just sort of carry the ruby around or maybe glue it on your finger. But it just looks so much better with a beautiful ring around it. And the Lord Jesus, you know, he's our jewel. He's the center of what we're doing. And the group gathered here, we are the church. A building will never be the church. But God gives the ability to beautify places. And if you have an ability in this area, you might consider how God wants to use it. We don't have a building for you to fix up yet. But you know, there are people who can be touched through this gift. Now, drama, I think, would probably be included here. Painting. That's more than a hobby. These are things that God can use for his kingdom. Do you have it? Pretty sure you have it. Not sure? I don't think I have this one. Intercession is the ability to pray for the needs of others in the church family over extended periods of time on a regular basis. The ability to persist in prayer and not be discouraged until the answer arrives. These are people who don't just pray. They keep on praying, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, until the answer comes through. I'm not an intercessor. I pray for people. But people with the gift of intercession can just hang with it for hours and hours and hours. If you have this ability, let me know. We need you to pray for matters. Do you have this gift? God keeps drawing you to prayer, extended prayer for people. Healing, another prayer-related gift. The ability to pray in faith specifically for people who need physical, emotional, or spiritual healing and see God answer. The ability to sense when God is prompting you to pray this kind of prayer. Now, we need this. There are some people that God gives the ability to pray for others and they're healed. James 5, 14 through 16 talks about how pastors especially have a role in this area. So whenever there are situations where people get very sick in the congregation, one of the things we'll do on staff is pray over them. And we've seen God heal people, some of them on the spot, some of them within 5, 6, 7 days, tumors and things like that. But occasionally God has not healed someone. But we've seen the Lord heal dramatically. This is one of the offices, one of the duties of pastors. But there are some people that God gives exceptional gifts in this area. And whenever they pray for people, they get healed. I had an ear infection one time. It ran for 6 weeks. And the antibiotics just didn't seem to be doing much for it. And it just kept on, kept hurting and hurting and hurting. And a friend of mine from another city came through. And he has a gift in this area. I said, man, before we go, we'd had a great time talking about what the Lord was doing. I said, before we go, would you pray for my ear? He said, sure. So he put his hand on the side of my head and prayed for me. And he said goodbye and drove away. In about 5 minutes, my ear started burning on the inside. And I knew what that was. And it hit, burned and burned and burned. Never did get painful, but boy, it was like fire. And it burnt for about 15 minutes. And then the infection was gone. No pain. It was done with. Now, whenever I am really bad sick, that's the kind of person I want praying for me. I don't want somebody praying, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. Because I want it to be God's will, you know. If you have a gift in this area, let us know. There will be aware of situations where this help is really needed. So I personally pray that God would give me this gift. And the Lord is not. And I have a heart for people. And I finally, after several years, began to understand why he didn't. I think if I had this as a gift, then I wouldn't be able to lead the congregation. I would be so busy praying for people, I wouldn't be able to lead you. And the Lord has wired me together to lead. And so this is not one of my gifts, but it is one of my offices. If you have this ability, let us know. Miracles is the ability to pray in faith specifically for God's supernatural intervention into impossible situations and see God answer. The ability to sense when God's prompting you to pray this kind of prayer. There are some people able to pray about situations and phenomenal things happen. They could be more in the physical arena. It could be in the political arena. There are some people that just have supernatural ability to work the miraculous. I have seen some of these. And this one is another fairly obvious gift. If you pray and it doesn't happen, then you probably don't have this one. If you pray and the miraculous does happen, let us know. Again, we know of situations that will need your help. Sometimes people look at these supernatural things and they say, well, do you really believe this stuff is true? And the answer is yes. I didn't used to. Whenever I got straightened out with the Lord Jesus, I felt like God was pretty far removed and the devil was a myth maybe, but definitely not a person. But over the years, both looking at things scientifically and then watching out of the Word of God and then through the experiences the Lord has led me through, the Lord's able to alter what we call reality at any time he wants to. Now, someone once said, well, you know, God's the one who creates natural law, and God is not a lawbreaker. Well, that's a word game. Law, natural law, is not the same as do not kill, you know, and do not commit adultery. That's moral law. Natural law is just a term that we use to describe the patterns of operation of the universe. The Lord's the one who created the patterns. He can alter them anytime he wants to. with no harm to his character. Now, if there is no God, then it's really hard to come up with a miraculous. There is no God. You have to be standing at the right point when the universe shivers. But the God is real, and so he can do the supernatural. And there are some people through whom he does it more regularly. Praying with my spirit, tongues or interpretation, the ability to pray in a language understood only by God, or one who's given the gift of interpreting at that time. Now, down here in this box is a section on why we don't allow tongues in our services. I'd just like to look at those with you. You may have this gift. It's especially given for edifying, building up yourself. It caused a great deal of problems in the Corinthian church, so Paul wrote a whole chapter on dealing with it in worship. It's for personal edification, not the whole church. You can see the quote here. So it's different from the other spiritual gifts. It's something given for building me up, helping me, where the other gifts are for others. We're to focus on building up others, not ourselves, particularly in our meetings. Paul says, unless you speak intelligible words, you'll just be speaking into the air. Try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Number three, it confuses unbelievers in the service. If some unbelievers come in, will they not say you're out of your mind? Number four, ideally, it's not meant to be used in the worship service. In the church, Paul says, you can underline that, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. He goes on to say, the gift of speaking God's message should be under the speaker's control because God does not want us to be in disorder, but in harmony and peace. So I'd stand up and say, Jesus loves you, praise God. That's five words. That's better than doing 10,000 in a tongue. So we focus on what builds up the whole group in our services here. Gifts that support all four purposes. Let's look at these quickly. Leadership. Leadership is different from administration. Leadership is the ability to clarify and communicate the purpose and direction, the vision of a ministry in a way that attracts others to get involved. The ability to motivate others by example to work together in accomplishing a ministry goal. The test for leadership is this. Is anybody following you? The proverb, I think I've said it to you before, about leadership goes like this. He who thinketh he leadeth, whom no one followeth, merely taketh a walk. If you got it, people follow you. Leadership is influence. If you have the gift of influence, you influence people. They follow you. It's a gift from the Lord. Leaders tend to be goal-oriented. They tend to be long-term people. Management tends to focus on the short-term. Management administration tends to focus on the short-term. Leadership tends to focus on the long-term. Management tends to focus on control. Leadership tends to focus on change, bringing change. A lot of you will have this gift in seed form. It needs to grow and develop. And over time, you'll become respected leaders in the congregation because God has given you the gift. Do you have this gift? I don't think I have this one. I may have it. I'm pretty sure I do have. Administration or organization is the ability to recognize the gifts of others and to recruit them into a ministry. The ability to organize and manage people, resources, and time for effective ministry. The ability to coordinate many details and execute the plans of leadership. Leadership tends to generate plans. Administration especially works to help execute them. The Greek word that's used for administration literally means to steer a ship. The one who guides or pilots a situation. The people with the gift of management or administration usually have the ability to juggle several things at one time. They tend to look for more effective ways of doing things. They're always looking for a better way to do this, a more effective way. They know how to delegate and get other people involved. They don't just run off and do something themselves. They tend to keep on drawing other people into this and handing out tasks to them. Leaders will set a vision that other people get motivated about, but the organizers will hand out tasks that people can do. They generally can work with details without losing the big picture. Some of us, whenever we start working on details of a project, just sort of lose the big perspective. These people have the ability to go back and forth. They keep seeing the big picture, but they're able to handle the details. The leaders tend not to be detail people. Do you have this gift? I may have it. I don't think I have this one. Faith is the ability to trust God for what cannot be seen and to act on God's promise, regardless of what the circumstances indicate. The willingness to risk failure in pursuit of God-given vision, especially to handle the obstacles, expecting God to handle the obstacles. Now, if you have a gift of faith, you love to take risks. And you're never afraid to go out on a limb, like one guy says, because I'm not afraid to go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. Now, you move toward risk if you have a gift of faith. This is one of the gifts that I have. And there are some long-term things that we're not committed to the Lord out of faith in Him. People who have a gift of faith have the ability to keep on. They have a tremendous ability to persevere. Even though the answer has not come yet, they have a tremendous ability to persevere. Here's your quote along this line. An oak tree is a little nut that refused to give its ground. And boy, their heart resonates with this. They're going to give their ground. They're going to go ahead and stand on faith about this. God's going to do this. They tend to be positive in spite of problems. They trust God for the impossible. They tend to have big dreams, big vision, and the ability to keep trusting God for things that other people say, well, you know, I just don't know. You know, the person with the gift of faith can go ahead and trust God. Others look at the situation, I'm not really sure about that. Do you have the gift of faith? I have it. I'm not sure. I don't think I have this one. Now, I've taken you through this not to bore you to tears, or merely put you to sleep, sort of massage your brain while you rest. But I've walked you through this for two purposes. One is so that you yourself might be able to identify in coming days the things the Lord starts raising up in you as you begin to mature. And then two, so that you can help one another and give one another feedback as you walk on with the Lord and you begin to identify gifts in other people that maybe they don't see yet. So I would encourage you to take this home with you and pray over it. Now, you may be saying right now, I still don't know what my gift is. That's okay. I said a little while earlier, you'll know more about this next year than you know right now. You know, as time goes on, these things will stand out and emerge for you. But I'd encourage you to take these home, study them. You may want to look up some of these scriptures in the areas where you're wondering if you have a gift. And then pray over them. And then why don't you make a list of what you think are your gifts and priority. Commit those to the Lord and ask Him to verify them as time goes on. We're going to be taking a look at a heart, what the things on your heart, and abilities, personality, and experiences in coming days. But spiritual gifting, as you begin to grasp it, will begin to help you orient sort of the kinds of tasks that God's going to be calling you toward. Heart's going to talk about the kind of target or the kind of objective that you're going to be dealing with. Would you stand with me and let's pray together? Thank you for tracking with me as we go through this, especially in the warm. Join me in prayer. Father, we do commit to you who we are. You are the living God, and we're in your presence right now. We ask you for our understanding of what you want to do through our lives. Some of us here this morning don't yet know the Lord Jesus, and we're seeking, we're hunting for truth and looking for understanding from you. And you've given a glimpse into some of the gifts that you intend to give as they walk toward you. Father, others of us have committed to the Lord Jesus, and they're walking with him, and they're asking in their own hearts the question of, what is it you would have me do, Lord?